March 21st, first full day of spring. Sunny day. Supposed to get to about 60 today. Those of you down south, you're missing beautiful weather. Praise God. Those of you also that are snowbirds and are away, we miss you. Your seat's open. Hurry home. I want to talk this morning about custom made. The picture on the front of the bulletin, you see a craftsman carving a piece of wood. We can look at intricately carved items and recognize that they are custom made. Recognize that a lot of work went into it. Yet so many times we forget that each and every one of us is custom made. Each and every one of us is created uniquely by an almighty God who loves us, who has a plan and purpose for our lives. Genesis 2 verse 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Does anybody have identical twins, either in their family or that they're close to? Once you get to know them, can you tell them apart? Even though they're identical twins, they are each unique. We have dear friends, and their two boys are actually young men now. They're 20. And one of them, they're identical twins, and one of them is I thought it was Sue's voice. one of them is he's in engineering. He's a computer scientist. He's a brilliant, brilliant young man, and his identical twin brother is non-verbally autistic and a type 1 diabetic. Identical twins. We know several. I had twins in my among my cousins. Deb had twins that were nephews of hers. We know other twins, and all of them, each and every one of them is unique. Each and every one of them is completely separate. We're each and every one of us uniquely gifted. Has anybody ever met somebody that looked a lot like them? Or had somebody say, "I saw somebody that looked just like you the other day"? I have a solution to that. I tell them, "Yeah, there's handsome people all over the place." They don't tell me that anymore. Whatever it takes, right? But each and every one of us, just as God formed Adam from the dust of the earth and breathed breath into his nostrils, and man became a living being, God has worked in each and every one of us to make us absolutely unique. If it was strictly biology, you wouldn't have completely separate people that were identical twins. Has anybody ever met two people that seem to have the exact same personality even though they look nothing alike? So it's not just other things as well. Two people growing up in the same household, identical twins growing up in the same household. So they have the same parents, they have the same biology, they have the same environment, and they're still different. Each and every one of us are unique. Each and every one of us are custom made. Now, in this world, going through school, they'll tell you all about evolution. They'll tell you you're an accident of nature. The Bible doesn't tell us that. The Bible tells us that God is at work in each and every one of us. Still in Genesis 2, going down to verse 18. "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him.' Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. God made them each. God formed them each. They were not made to be identical. They were made to be comparable. They were made to fit together. They were made to make a helper for him. Right? There was not found for Adam a helper comparable to him. We talked a little bit about a couple of weeks ago, Wednesday night, before you guys left. And we were talking somewhere we'd come across the book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And we're talking about general differences between men and women. Now, I understand that, you know, when you start talking about always and never, always and never don't work with people when you're talking about personality. Mm-hmm. You can say every human being needs oxygen to live. Okay, that's good. But if you say everybody in this group does such and such, that's almost never right. Yet there's enough similarities, there's enough consistency that there can be overall generalities. That's why you have a book that says men are from Mars, women are from Venus. You have a book that says men are like spaghetti, or women are like spaghetti and men are like waffles, which is a Christian book talking about the difference in how we process things. There are various other books and comedians talking about it. But they're not all identical. Not everybody is like that. But there are generalities in who we are. Yet each and every one of us is individual and unique and handmade by a sovereign God. Psalm 139, beginning with verse 16, says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." Stop right there for just a minute. The first part of that verse says, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." We can praise God that He's made us fearfully and wonderfully. But what about the second part that says, "Marvelous are your works"? How many times do we look in the mirror and don't see that who we are is marvelous, handmade, custom made by an almighty sovereign God who loves us? Each and every one of us is precious in His sight, no matter what's going on in our lives. He desires a relationship with each and every person. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He made us to be in fellowship with Him. Remember in the garden when they'd eaten of the forbidden fruit. Tradition says apple, but eaten of the forbidden fruit. And they realized they were naked and they hid. And they heard the voice of God coming in the cool of the evening and they hid. And He said, "Adam, where are you?" The sovereign God who knows everything, sees everything, is everywhere at once, knew exactly where they were. It's not where physically are you, it's where are you in your spirit? What is going on that you want to hide? Why are you hiding from me? Why are we running from God sometimes? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. God's plan is so wonderful that it even takes into account our shortcomings and our failures. God is not surprised when I fall. God is not surprised when you fall. He knows about it. He sees all of our days. Bible tells us that every time we even think upon His name, it's written in the book. God is paying attention to what goes on in our lives. And He loves us and He's drawing us close. Verse 15. "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." God sees the end from the beginning. He sees everything that's going on in the secret. Even when we're being formed, He's paying attention. God is at work in our hearts and in our lives, no matter what our circumstances are. We are custom made, fully equipped to do what God has called us to do. So often we don't walk in what God has called us to do. So often we turn our back. So often we ignore Him. But that doesn't change the fact that God is still at work. He who began the good work is faithful to complete it. The God who loves us and created us in His own image after His own likeness has a plan and purpose for our life. That even includes our failures. That even includes our circumstances. He's fully equipped us to do everything that He's called us to do. In Psalm 94, beginning with verse 8. Here's a warning. There's some interesting things in it, though. Understand, you senseless among the people. That'll be me. Foolish among the people. He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? The God who designed our hearing, don't you think He can hear? He who formed the eye, will He not see? Or shall He not see? God, the God who's made us in His image. If we can hear, God can hear. If we can see, God can see. If we can understand, God can understand. But so many times we forget about that. Oh, God doesn't see that. Yeah, He does. But praise God, He loves me anyway. Praise God, He loves you anyway. Praise God, He still has a plan, whether or not we're walking in it. Whether or not we are being obedient to what He's called us to do. He still has a plan, and He still has a purpose that even includes our failures. Even includes our shortcomings. And He's not done with us. Praise God. He who instructs the nation, shall He not correct? He who teaches man knowledge. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. Blessed is the man whom You instruct, O Lord. O Lord, teach us. And teach out of Your law, that You may give him rest in the days of adversity. Do we have adversity? Do we have problems? Where do we go to find rest? Our rest comes from God. Our comfort comes from God. Continuing in verse 13, until the pit is dug for the wicked, for the Lord will not cast off His people, nor will He forsake His inheritance. Praise God. Scripture says, though a righteous man falls seven times, he will not be utterly cast down. God is the one who is able to pick us up. Though we fall, He will pick us up. He will not cast us off. Verse 15, but judgment will return to the righteous, and the upright in heart will follow it. God has a plan and purpose to cause us to stand uprightly. I shared something this morning. It was a reminder. I get the reminder on Facebook of something I posted. In this case, it was from a Casting Crowns concert eight years ago. And the quote was from the concert was, when you feel like you have let God down, who told you you were holding God up in the first place? God is holy and righteous all by Himself. It doesn't rely on me for God to be holy and righteous. God is wondrous all by Himself. When we let Him down, we're not holding Him up in the first place. We haven't let Him down. We failed ourselves. We failed our own expectations. But the God who sees the end from the beginning, who has all of our days written in the book, who knows everything we're going to do, He already knows what's coming and loves us anyway. He has already said that He's going to cause all things to work together for good to them who love Him, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Praise God, He already factored in my foolishness. He already factored in my stupidity. He already factored in my falling. And loves me anyway. And is at work in me anyway. Is at work in you anyway. Jeremiah 1, beginning with verse 4, says, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. Let me come right out and say, not every one of us is called to be a prophet to the nations. But every one of us is formed in our mother's womb. Every one of us, God knows and God called before the foundations of the world. Every one of us, He is at work, been at work in our lives, not only in our lives, but in our genealogy, leading up, bringing us to the point where we are. You don't believe me? Take a look at the genealogy of Jesus and look at some of those messed up people in the genealogy of Jesus. Yet in the fullness of time, Christ came. In the fullness of time. We can look back in our own lives and see times where we've stumbled and fell and caused trouble and all the things that we've done. And yet God has brought us through it. And through those points of our failures, through those points of our pain, God has brought our ministry. A ministry of reconciliation, a ministry of healing, a ministry of outreach to others. A ministry of showing God's love to the people around us. Because in many cases we can relate. Hey, I know what it's like to do stupid things. I've done stupid things. And I know what it's like to hurt because I've hurt. I know what it's like to be falsely accused because I've been falsely accused. I know what it's like to do all of these things. Not that I enjoyed going through it, but I relish the fact and I praise God for the fact that He has brought me through it and hasn't wasted it. He's used it to give me a heart for people, a heart to reach out, a heart to show His love. That's what He's done in each and every one of us. Final passage of Scripture, Ephesians 2, beginning with verse 8, says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship." Go back to that picture on the front of the bulletin. That craftsman, hand making that carved wood. We are His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. He's made you special. He's made you unique. He's made you one of a kind because He has a task for you that He is fitting you perfectly for. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God knew what was coming before today. God knew what was coming before tomorrow. God knew what was coming before each and every day for the rest of our lives. And He has equipped us and made us unique by His workmanship to do His will. To be the light, to be the gift of God in someone else's life. Sometimes we forget that. We go back to that verse in Psalms where it says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God has uniquely made each and every one of us for His plans and purposes. And has a path laid out before us. Yes, sometimes we stop and turn around. Sometimes we pretend to be the children of Israel and go around that mountain again and again and again for 40 years, it seems like. Lord, why am I here again? Well, maybe you just need seasoning, or maybe you need to learn something. And both are possibilities. But God has a plan and purpose. Maybe the timing's just not right. Maybe the things that God has equipped us for, everything else hasn't lined up yet. But God is still at work in our lives. We are custom made. And then the important part, not only are we custom made, but the people we encounter are custom made in the image of God for a plan and a purpose. And we are called to show that love to them because they might not be getting that word from anywhere else. They might not be hearing that from somebody else. They might be at the point where they are hopeless and helpless and frustrated and don't know what to do. But we can look back at what God has brought us through, and by the love of God building in us, we can share that love with somebody else. We can share that encouragement with somebody else. We can reach out to somebody else, remembering it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We are in this day and age on purpose. God has us here in this land right now on purpose. It's not an accident. It's not just a freak of nature. It's not just something that happened. It's God's perfect plan at work in our lives. Every person you encounter is a person that God has placed in your path. Because God's directing all of this. So let's show the love of God to the people we encounter. They might not be hearing it from anybody else. They might not be seeing it from anybody else. It gives us the opportunity to be salt and light, to do the things we're called to do. It's not God's will that any should perish. Praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Father, that you have created each and every one of us, and you continue to direct us. And even as we talked earlier about identical twins, how they might be identical physically, but they're not identical in personality. In people that are identical in personality are not identical physically. Lord, that you have created each and every person uniquely. And that you have a plan and purpose for all of our lives. And as we've done before, shown pictures of tapestries and how the front is beautiful and the back is all twisted and knotted and tied up, recognizing that so often we don't see the picture. We almost never see the whole picture, but we can rest assured that you are doing wondrous things. And as we stand upon your word, knowing, Father, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and all of your works are wonderful. All of your works are perfect. Father, that we can step out in that. Trusting you, Lord, to direct our steps, trusting you to guide us, trusting you, Father, even to fill our mouths with the words to say when you put people in our paths, that you be glorified in our hearts and in our lives. We give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.